Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies endure forever. If you hadn't noticed, the Bible is a book that repeatedly reminds us to say thank you, to say thank you to our Heavenly Father. You know, saying thank you is not really something that comes naturally. Those of you that have raised little ones and are raising little ones now, realize that saying thank you is something that we pretty much have to be taught. I remember that it was a cold Michigan winter, and the boys had been, Rick was 4 years old, and Ryan had just been born. He was just a little baby. And they had been cooped up all winter in this little tiny house with very little room to run. So that tense, and Rick needed some excitement. He needed to get out and do a little running around and releasing all that pent-up energy that little four-year-olds have. And I was trying to think of things to do, and I was working at that time at a dental lab, and my boss was a wonderful, godly Christian man, and I was talking to him about the struggles of trying to entertain a little four-year-old in a little tiny house during a cold winter with snow 3 and 4 feet deep. There's only so much you can do in a house, and you finally just, you know, flat run out of ideas of what to do. And so I was telling him about this, and he said, well, have you ever been over to the gymnasium and let the boys ride their three-wheelers? They called them big wheels back then. And I said, well, I've been over there, but, you know, my boy doesn't have a big wheel. We're pretty poor. I didn't say that, but that we were worse than poor. We were as poor as church mice, as they say. But there's something even poorer than church mice, and that's seminary students. And seminary students with little children, especially with all the costs of diapers and food and everything. And that was the end of the conversation. The next day, there was a knock on my door, and I came to the door, and there stood my boss. And I thought, oh boy, now what? Is he going to fire me, let me go? What's going to happen here? And behind him was standing one of his young boys. I think he was about 7 or 8 year old, and he was holding a huge box. It was heavy, I could tell. And my boss, his name was Philip, he said, Guren, because he was Korean, he had a bit of an accent. Guren, we have a gift for you. Actually, for Rick. Okay. So he brought it over to us, and we opened the box, and inside was a brand new big wheel. Tears came to my eyes as I realized that this was a wonderful gift at a time when we needed it most. And I thanked him profusely. Of course, Rick was standing right there, and his eyes got huge. And he pulled that thing out, boy, and he got it down on the bike, and he started pedaling through the house, crashing into everything, you know. And he was having a grand old time. I mean, this was the best thing. He had wanted one of these for 2 years, 3 years. He'd wanted one of these big wheels. And then I remembered that Rick needed to learn to say thank you. So I said, Rick, what do you say? What, Dad? What do you say? Oh, all of a sudden the lights came on. And he went over and gave this friend of mine a big hug. And he said, thank you. Thank you so much, my big wheel. I don't know, that was one of the few times, at least at that age, that Rick showed so much gratitude. And it was touching, because it came from the depths of his heart. Giving thanks is a learned behavior. It's an attitude of gratitude, as they say. It springs from the heart that is so filled and overflowing with joy that they can't contain it, and the words thank you come out. We're reminded of a similar story in Luke, the 17th chapter. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And he was walking along there with his disciples, and suddenly, you know the story, 10 lepers showed up on the path in front of them. And Jesus knew immediately that this was a time that his Father could be glorified. And so he healed those 10 lepers. He told them to go to the temple, to be purified, proclaimed pure, and off they went, leaving dust behind, Jesus standing there. It would be a sad story if that were the end of the story, but you know that it wasn't the end of the story, because of those ten lepers, one came back because he had a heart of gratitude. He came back, and if you have your Bibles with you, you turn to Luke, the 17th chapter. We have recorded for us that heart of gratitude, that attitude of gratitude. In verse 15, it says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God. He came back. By the way, it doesn't say in a soft voice. Usually when our hearts are full of gratitude, usually when our hearts are filled with joy and happiness and thanksgiving, it's pretty hard to do it quietly. Have you ever noticed that? We get excited, don't we? Sometimes we even want to do a little dance and jump up and down a little bit. I know that's too childish. Only kids are allowed to do that kind of thing. You know, us adults, well, we've got to be more stoic about our happiness and our thanksgiving. But it says he came back praising God with a loud voice. And he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. There's that word. He threw himself at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. Now, if you can picture that for just a moment. Put yourself in the place of that leper who was purified, who was cleansed, who was healed by Jesus. Well, you say, I don't have leprosy. That leprosy is pretty much extinct. Oh, but you have something worse than leprosy. You have sin. And we're all sinners. All of us are unclean. All of us are impure. All of us need the cleansing power of Jesus in our life. All of us need to come to the feet of Jesus. One out of ten. Does that tell you something about thanksgiving? Does that tell you something about our hearts? One out of ten. How many times would you say in your life that you've actually acknowledged that God has been working in your life? How many times a day do you acknowledge the healing power of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life? How many times do you stop and come back to the feet of Jesus and say, thank you, Jesus, for making it possible for me to have eternal life? How many times? One out of ten? It's interesting. If it wasn't enough for him, for this man to have leprosy, but worse yet, he was a Samaritan. And some of you go, well, so? He was a Samaritan. Jesus was a Jew, but this man was a Samaritan. Not only did he have the baggage of being unclean because of leprosy, but he had a worse baggage to carry, that baggage that he was not acceptable.
in the eyes of God because he was not a Jew. He was a half-breed. Despised. Cast out from society. But Jesus loved him. The odds were stacked against him, but Jesus loved him. Life had been tough on him, but Jesus loved him. He was going to slowly die the death of a leper, but Jesus loved him. He was hopelessly and helplessly lost in a society that rejected him. You see, there was a reason why he had leprosy, so the Pharisees and Sadducees and the priests told him it's because of his sins, or maybe the sins of his parents. And so he was paying a price for the sin in his life. But Jesus loved him. And because Jesus loved him, because Jesus cared, he was healed. And he came back praising God and thanking Jesus. I wonder sometimes if Jesus were here this morning in person. He is here this morning in spirit, but if you were here bodily in person, would we come and thank him? Would we kneel at his feet and praise him? Would we hug him and thank him for dying on the cross and shedding his blood and taking those nails in his hands and his feet and the spear in his side? Would we thank him? Or would we just jump on the three-wheeler and rip around and have fun? We need to be reminded, don't we? And really, that's what Thanksgiving is all about. We are so blessed in a nation that has so much to offer us. In a culture where very few people are really, really poor. There, we have poor people. But I can assure you, I've been in countries where the poorest person in America would be considered fairly wealthy. I remember visiting the Philippines one time and went into the interior to hold some evangelistic meetings. And while I was there, I was reminded again of my childhood living among the poor, living among those who had lost everything and had nothing. And I had the privilege of working with a Filipino pastor who was a wonderful man of God, and we spent every morning worshiping together and sharing the burdens of our hearts and the joys of ministering. And I remember the day that we were going to leave, and I felt really bad. I kind of wanted to take him with me. And I didn't know what I could do to help him. And one of my friends who had been to the Philippines before, into this particular area, said, "What you need to do is just leave everything that you have here. Give everything that you have, your suitcase full of clothes, and let this pastor give those as gifts to people who need them." And I thought to myself, well, okay, what do I have in my suitcase that I would miss? And so I went through and I looked through my suitcase. I had my Bible. I had my hymnals. I had my sermon notes. I had a series of Bible studies. I had a small camera. I had several changes of pants and shirts and ties. And I thought to myself, you know, the only thing really that I would miss in that suitcase would be my Bible. But I've got other Bibles at home. I have five or six Bibles at home. So really,
Just give it all. I learned an important lesson. And I remember saying to this friend of mine, this pastor, I said, I want you to know that I'm going to leave my suitcase when I go, and I want you to take whatever you would like to have. And I want you to either share it or keep it for yourself. And I remember to this day the tears that welled up in his eyes. And what I was giving was nothing, really. I felt shameful that I didn't have more. But I remember the thankfulness, the attitude of gratitude. I was embarrassed even. I was embarrassed that he would even be thankful for what I was giving to him, because it wasn't anything really. But he was very thankful and very touched. Well, let's continue to praise God as the worship team comes forward and leads us in the remainder of our worship.